on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015, and I appreciate you being with us here on InvestTalk. We welcome anyone who's interested in improving their money management skills. Now, we do have many listeners who are experienced investors and many others who are just beginning this long and arduous journey of knowledge. It takes a long time. And you keep learning no matter what. It's continuing. It's always continuing. But I encourage everybody to do it. You really need to know more about money. And of course, I love to answer your questions about any money or financial matter. That's always interesting. And we're just a couple of days away from our webinar on global investing, and this isn't just a topic we picked out of a hat. The reason we thought we should devote one of our conferences and webinars to this particular topic is that today, bargains are getting much harder to find in the stock market, in the U.S. stock market, what we call a situation which the market is overvalued. Now, it's not extremely overvalued, and the longer it does nothing, which so far the S&P 500 is up less than a point, 1% for the year, as long as it continues to do that, earnings keep coming in, the valuations will start to fall, right? Because earnings come in, stock prices are flat, and then what happens is eventually the earnings catch up with the price. But right now, we're overvalued here in the United States. But not everywhere in the world is the same. And that's what this conference, this webinar is about. And of course, the first question is, how do you navigate a foreign investing culture? How do you do it? So we're going to explain ADRs, American Depository Receipts. Those are foreign stocks traded on the U.S. exchange, as well as a list of ETFs and foreign indexes and markets and stocks, on and on and on, how to evaluate. So we only have an hour, so it's going to go quickly, because this is usually a three-hour conference, and we cut it down to an hour, so we'll be going through things fast. So you'll learn how, to value foreign stocks compared to domestic, how to manage political and currency risks. You got to consider those, how to factor in global economic changes like the QE in Europe. Did you see the numbers today? Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. Foreign and emerging markets tend to be less settled, so they're more volatile, everybody. So they will react or overreact to things faster. That's one danger, one of the risks we'll be discussing. There's risks that we have to consider. But when they're undervalued, those risks become less worrisome. Now, this online event is free, but you do have to register and get your entry code. That's easy. Just go to investtalk.com, investtalk with two T's, investtalk.com. Look for Webinar on Global Investing. You'll see it. That's the title. It runs from 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time on June 4th. That's this Thursday. Then there's a limit to the number of attendees we can accommodate, so sign up soon. Okay, let's get to the Q&A portion of the show. We're here for you. Our number is 888. 99-CHART.
Yes, Steve, my name is Richard Hill. I live in Biloxi, Mississippi. I listen to your iPod show. I'd like to know about GOLD and FNV. F is in Frank, N is in Nancy, V is in Victor. Which would be a better of the two stocks, and which would be the best point to get in? Thank you.
Okay, FNV. Let me go there first. And I didn't get that first. Is gold, G-O-L-D, that's just gold. Maybe he's thinking G-L-D, that's the ETF for gold. And maybe that's what he's thinking. So we'll take a look at both of those. But FNV, this is an ETF, Canadian gold-focused royalty and stream company with over 370 royalty and stream property interests. Franco-Nevada Corporation, that's the name of the company. To acquire gold and silver stream, so they're looking for royalty money, okay, and by investing in various companies or various mines, various properties. They're not very good growing. There have been single-digit growth in the last four quarters, like a year ago, they were shrinking. They're going to make $1.54 next year. That's up 18%. $1.31 this year. That's up 44% from last year. So it's going in the right direction as far as earnings. But it's a $51.77 stock. It's a P of 62. Now, that will be less next year, but very high. And dividend yield is only 1.6. Now, he gave me a symbol, G-O-L-D. So let's put that in. See, okay, yeah, that is a company. Rangel Resources ADR. ADR means American Depository Receipt, meaning it's a foreign company. And this one's out of the United Kingdom. Engaged in exploration and development of gold properties, primarily in Mali and Cote d'Ivoire. Okay, this one also has a pretty high PE, but not nearly as high. They're going to make $2.54 this year, 1% higher than last. $3.19 next year, that's $26 now. And the sales and shrinking and growth, this one has been shrinking the last three quarters. The last one was growing. The last one was much more expensive. Probably because it was growing. This one is cheaper. It was a $73 stock. Now, both of them are tied to gold. What do you think gold's going to do? If you feel gold is going to go up, these two companies will work. Both of them are making money. One's growing its sales, one's shrinking its sales. The one growing its sales is much more expensive than the one shrinking its sales. But both our earnings are going up. This one only pays 8/10% dividend yield. I think it's a toss-up. This one has no debt. Gold, G-O-L-D, has no debt. FNV, let's take a look at that one. It has no debt either. Toss-up. One's growing sales, one's shrinking sales. I'd probably go with G-O-L-D if you're going to make me choose one. I don't know if I choose either one of these, though. We do have investments in gold, precious metal in our managed stock account, and a position in our mutual fund account. So, but not these. Wish I could tell you which, but I can't. GOLD and FNV were the symbols. Dividend investing has realized that it's not all about the yield. Dividend investors know that it's not all about dividend yield. There are different ETFs. Of course, yield is part of it. But you got yield, you got quality, and then you got both yield and quality. You know, quality of the company producing the yield. That's going to be our main talking point. We're going to talk about that. What can you do? Also, inflation returns to the Eurozone after 6 months of being absent. That is good news for them. The EU, ECB, they all will be happy about inflation that came out reported last night or today. Will that stop their QE, slow it down? We'll talk about that. Automakers post stronger than expected May sales. Talk about that. And think you'll work in retirement? Think again. This is I'm going to refer to an article and a couple of studies done. Everybody thinks that, well, I'll just keep working and that's how I'll make money. Well, you'd be amazed how many will not be able to work and the reasons why. Don't count on it. You can't count on it working in retirement. It's kind of scary, actually. So we'll talk about that as well. The market, what did it do today? Well, much to do about nothing. The Dow was down 29. The NASDAQ was down 6. The S&P down 2. And I'm sure you've heard me talk to them blue in the face here about the S&P. If you go back to the high right at the end of December, and you go, the high was 2,093. And today is 2,109. So, what is that? 15 points in 5+ months now. 15 points up. Okay, that's less than 1% up for the... Now, that's not all bad, by the way. That's not a bad situation. When you have a market that's a little bit overpriced, It's okay. How does it become undervalued or properly valued? Well, either it has to stop moving up, it can go sideways for a while meaning year, 2 years, depending on how fast earnings grow. And that's what we have. We have the market moving sideways right now. And it still has an upward bias, believe it or not, even though 5 months it really barely just moved, it still has an upward bias to the trend. It's forming an upward sloping higher lows, but not too much higher highs triangle. And that is usually indicative of at some point it's going to break out to the upside. But it's also going to have a correction at the same time, because you've got to not only just consider the chart pattern, but where we are in the yearly stock market cycle, which is summertime, usually there is a correction, and where we are in the economic cycle. These things have play their part, you know, and what the Fed's doing. All that plays a part. You just can't look at a chart and say, oh, well, it looks like that pattern, therefore it's going to go this. Charts tend to be true, everybody. They're not always true. Charts tend to repeat themselves. So when we see when I tell you I see a pattern, that means usually when this pattern happens, this XYZ follows. But that usual means a higher than 50% chance. It could be 51. It could be 99. But it doesn't mean it has to happen. Doesn't mean it has to. Just don't want you to get, you know, every time you hear someone, including myself included, on the radio or on TV, say, you know, the stock is, the stock pattern of the chart says that this is what's going to happen. No, tends to happen. Doesn't have to. You can get straight to me right now, 888-99-CHART. We're open to any money questions you might have, 888-992-4278. Or you know you can write me a note directly. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. Try to remember, when something does very well for long periods of time, change is in the air. It's hard to know when that changes, but I can guarantee you change is in the air. Now, you know, on the radio, I've talked about dividend ETFs and that I have a list. And if you want it, you can email me and request it. And I've been sending out a lot of those requests. But there are different kinds of ETFs, meaning that pay dividends, meaning ETFs that pay dividends purely based on the high dividend choices. They're looking for just the high paying dividend stocks. And then there's those who are looking for quality dividend paying stocks, not just high dividend pay stocks. And that, trust me, there's a major difference here. So you've got to be careful. When I say that quality versus payment, high yield, I'm talking about sustainability of that dividend and the growth of dividends. And there's different groups of ETFs, some just focusing on the high yield aspect. You know, give me the biggest dividend yield I can get. And then others focus on, I want dividend growth. It may not be the highest yield, you know, that they're not paying the highest percentage, but the dividend keeps growing year after year after year after year. Very steady growth. And I'll give you an example. Apple Computer, very high quality company. But the dividend is not that high. But the possibility of dividend growth is very strong. So if you look for a ETF that for a high quality growth in dividend, Apple will be in that list. But if you're looking for a high yield dividend stock, probably won't be in that list. Won't be in that dividend ETF. That's what I mean. You have to kind of make sure you understand which one you're getting into. Could you become an angel investor? Do you know what that means, by the way? There's big money to be made by some. That's coming up on our Invest Talk 101 in the next half hour. We're going to talk about being an angel investor. I hope you'll stay with us here on Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, their growth heightens the potential for a forced sale in the underlying markets if some event were to trigger large volumes of redemptions. Alarm bells getting louder for bond funds. That's our talking point for Wednesday, June 3rd. Please join us then.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Vic in San Jose. How you doing, Vic?
Pretty good. Hey, thanks, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a two-part question. One is a general question, and the second one is a stock question.
Okay.
The stock is Lumber Liquidator, LL is the ticker.
Okay.
And the question on that is, it's beat up so badly, is that time to get in?
And I think it's good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What price would you get in at?
Okay. I think it's been beaten up very badly, and I think it's getting very close to being done with the fall. Just for everybody else, Vic, it was a $70 stock back in February, and in a few days, a week, it fell down to 28, and recently now it's down to 22. Okay, and so it's been struggling, but still going down, but showing signs of, I kind of want to stop in this area. I mean, that's what it's kind of showing signs of. And the reason why it fell is because of problems with manufacturing. Let's just call it that. You know, they had Chinese manufacturing problems that there's going to still be a lot of litigation over and so on and so forth. But that really, that news is what killed them, okay? It's a very solid company with no debt. It's still making money. It's going to only make 42 cents a share this year after making $2.31 a share last year. But it's going to rebound next year to $1.49. Sales has fallen in the single digits. Sales growth, single digits, but it's still growing. It's a $596 million company. So it's a pretty small company, you know. And I think it's getting close, but I still think it's a little early, Vic. I think I would like to see some strength come into the stock price, maybe break up above the 20-day moving average, which is right around $24.60. It's got to show us some strength. And it's at $19, you know, was it at $22.01? So, but if I see it moving up about 10% from this bottom, then I might consider buying it. You want to buy strength in this stock because you want to make sure all the bad news is out there. Okay? Good, solid company. Before this happened, they were really going gangbusters. And you had another question, Vic?
Yes. The other question is about diversification. I was looking at the list, top 10 traded ETFs. Heavily traded ETFs.
Yes.
And by dollar amount, I guess. Mm-hmm. So the very top one was SPY. And I think some of them, the other one was EEM and EFA and all those ETFs. And would it be better to diversify your portfolio with that kind of top traded, heavily traded ETFs far as if they're diversified in the sectors?
Well, the volume of these things are not nearly as important as where they are. The SPY, of course, is the S&P 500. So if you want a really broad market ETF, that's what you buy. The EEM you mentioned was the emerging markets.
Right.
So if you want to be in emerging markets, that's the one I would probably pick because it's pretty easy. You know, it's pretty liquid. It trades a lot. So when you want to get, it's always, Vic, what's always important to me is getting out. When I get out, I want to have enough volume in there to make it easy to get out. All of them are, well, almost all of them trade at whatever the net asset value of the holdings are inside. You know, so you know, that there's no discount or premium to an open-ended ETF like these two you mentioned, only on closed-end ETF. So when you're saying, where do you want to be? You know, if you want to be in a broad market, then you pick the SPY because it's very liquid. Okay?
Mm-hmm. But is that better way to diversify, though? Do you think
you will diversify yourself? Yes. It's automatically diversifying. You know, when you're tracking an index. Both of these are index. Uh-huh. If you want to be less diversified, you might then go, well, I want to go into the oil sector. And if you want to be more focused, I want to go in just the drillers. And you can buy ETFs for that specific these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Also, the list was like a top 100 ETFs heavily traded, but I would prefer the top 10 by dollar amount.
Yeah, but see, that shouldn't be your decision. Your decision should be, Vic, where do you want to be? Not just about the volume. Where do you want to be in the market? Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks for calling, Vic. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see the automakers today? The automakers announced earnings and sales numbers. Better than expected. General Motors posted a 3% gain for May. And Fiat Chrysler reported 4% gain. Ford, they didn't produce a gain, but it was a lot better than expected. And one of the reasons why they didn't produce a gain is because they couldn't make enough F-150s because they sold out. They didn't have enough. Honda up 1.3%. So it was about 17.5 million cars for the month of May. And that's much, that's like as good as it was. That's the best number it's been. So it's very good. But before you jump in, one quick little warning. Remember how we have not heard anything from the unions, no strikes or anything else? Well, because there's agreements. When the government bailed them out, they agreed not to strike for a certain number of years. Guess what? That's done. 2015, they now are going to negotiate union contracts. That's one of the reasons why I'm very, very nervous about auto companies, those union contracts, being the strikes. How to manage political and currency risks. How to factor in global economic changes. How do you do all that? Well, we're going to talk about that this Thursday on a Wealth webinar. Justin and I will be there. You got to sign up for it for June 4th, 6:30. Go to investtalk.com. 888-992-4278. That's job number one, is answering questions, as you know. All right, it's a 24-hour listen line. It's open right now live, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time, but it's always open. Tony in Hillsboro had one of the questions.
A quick question about the Master Limited Partnership. There are many of them available that pay fairly good dividends. How do I go about finding a good company, solid company? I'm very interested in the dividend, but I'm very concerned about safety, preservation of capital.
That's a very good question, and we've talked about MLPs, Master Limited Partnerships, at length over the last few years. One of the things you want to look at is they pay this very good dividend, but are they paying it out of profits? Are they just giving back your own money? Well, what do I mean? Well, see what they're doing. Are they borrowing more and more money, borrowing it just to pay this high dividend? Or are they issuing more and more shares, diluting your ownership, and taking that money just to pay the dividend? We call this the payout ratio of the earnings. How much money do they earn? If they earned a dollar in earnings and they paid out $1.10 in dividend, where did the other 10 cents come from? It came from somewhere. And that's the biggest red flag out there on Master Limited Partnerships. Are they issuing more shares just to pay the dividend? Are they borrowing money just to pay the dividend? Where's that dividend money come from? And so the thing you really want to focus on is, what's the payout ratio? How much earnings do you have and how much dividend are you paying? If you're making a dollar and you're paying out more than a dollar in a dividend, making a dollar per year and you're paying $1.10 per year, that 10 cents comes from somewhere. And it's all about financial manipulation for that somewhere. We like a payout ratio about 60% or 60 cents on a dollar. They're not paying more than 60% of their earnings in the form of a dividend. Now, if you're talking about a REIT, real estate investment trust, they have to pay 90% of their earnings out in the form of a dividend to the shareholders. But a Master Limited Partnership is different. And they are focused on dividends. And you know, a few years ago, when MLPs were cheap, the dividends were 8, 9, 10%. Now, they're still high, 5, 6, 7, 8%, but you'll still find some paying 8, 9, 10%. But the higher that dividend is, the more concerned you should be. Time for InvestTalk 101. Can you become an angel investor? You know what an angel investor? Those are the people who start to put startup money for new companies. And there are two major types of investors, those who want to see their money grow steadily but don't want to take any major risks, and then there's those who really like sticking their neck out. And being an angel investor means you're sticking your neck way out there, trying to find the next big thing. Angel investing might sound exciting, but boy, it's not for everyone, and it's not for most. And generally, you have to be an accredited investor to be an angel investor. You know what that means? That means you have to have about $1 million worth of assets or making over $200,000 a year. You have to be an accredited investor. These startups can't just get everybody's money to start up. You just can't do that. Of course, you could start your own company. I mean, anyways, you should be an accredited investor before someone can, a company or firm, a startup can go out there and gather money. They can only gather from accredited investors. Now, the ones who do best are most often those who work in that same industry that they're investing in. If you're going to be an angel investor, you know about this. You know about this industry. That's where you do best. And there are statistics on this. Okay, about, let's see. And the U.S. Census Bureau shows about half of the startup businesses fell within a few years of starting up. They go out of business. Half. And only a small fraction give you any big returns. Only a tiny fraction give you the big returns you're looking for. Okay? And, you know, I'm talking about 10 times what your initial investment was. That's just a small fraction. And that's what the angel investors are hoping for. Now, if you want to get a little deeper into the topic, you can go to Investopedia, investopedia.com. It has a great article on it. Just search for angel investor on investopedia.com. And that's 101, InvestTalk 101. If you have any questions or comments on this topic or any other money matters, time to check in. 888-99-CHART.
We have two June dates for Steve's individual portfolio reviews. Steve can help at one of our California offices. He'll be in San Ramon, June 16th, and San Jose, June 17th. Or if that's out of reach for you, anywhere via Skype or telephone. To save your time slot with Steve, go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting.
Hey guys, this is Jeff from Columbus, Ohio. I listen to your podcast every day. I just started listening a couple weeks ago, and I've probably listened to about 100 episodes so far. So great show you got going on. Got a question about Dish Network. It's D-I-S-H as the symbol. I was just curious what your thoughts were on it. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Okay, you know, they compete with the cable companies. Dish Network provides direct broadcast satellite service nationwide to 14 million subscribers. So they're big. They're a $33 billion company. It's big. Okay, they're going to make $1.72 next year after making $1.92 this year, after making $2.04 last year. Did you notice a pattern? $2.04, $1.92, $1.72. Earnings are going down. Going down. The biggest thing about these kinds of companies, cable companies, Dish Network, you know, satellite companies subscribing, is subscriber growth. What's their subscriber growth like? Are they growing it or not? That's kind of the biggest key. Dish has a lot of debt. Now, they also have a lot of cash flow. I mean, so that might not be a problem, but they do have a lot of debt. Their P.E. ratio right now is 30. That seems kind of high to me. It's on the high range. The five-year P.E. range is 6 to 39. So the P.E. is low as 6 in the last 5 years. Now, if you think about that, 5 years ago, that's 2009. You know, so that's at the very bottom, I guess. That's how very worst that they were. And to give you an idea, the stock price in 2008, the low was 6. 2009, a low was 7. The high of 2009 was 20. Today, it's at 71.70. So you can see, is it worth that? Well, when the P.E. was 7, they made $1.42 a share. Now the P.E. is 30, and they're going to make $1.72 a share. You see how I'm thinking that's kind of overvalued? What should it be? What's it worth? I'm not thinking more than $30 a share. $35? I wouldn't buy this. It's too scary for me. It's too much debt. Overpriced. The good, there's some good things. Their sales are still growing by 4 or 5%, but that's not enough to justify that high PE. Owner management by ownership is very high. They own about 50% of the company. That's very high. That's good. But I just think it's too expensive. I wouldn't buy it. Okay? Inflation returns to the Eurozone. The Eurozone after 6 months. Eurozone consumer prices rose for the first time in 6 months for May. We're talking about May. And that, of course, is a big victory for the European Central Bank, the ECB. Remember, they did their QE. They started their QE 6 months ago, 5 months ago. And it's going to go through the rest of this year. At least that's what they targeted. And they were desperately fearing deflation. Now, they really never fell into the deflationary cycle. But all of a sudden, surprise on inflation came in. And we're talking about overall 3% rise in prices. Now, you say, I'm sorry, 0.3% in prices. But if you exclude energy and different sectors, okay, try to get food and energy out of there, it was more closer to 1%. Okay, so that is, their target is 2%. And they were really, really concerned. So this is good news for them. This is good news for the market, the economy in the EU. And did you notice, as a result of this information, the dollar fell today. And the euro gained. Now, it's kind of backward, because usually when you have inflation, the currency weakens. But in this case, they desperately want inflation. So it is a good thing, because with inflation, they can pay their sovereign debt with inflated future dollars. They don't want to be deflation, and we are in the same boat. Our sovereign debt wants to be paid in inflated future dollars. And just so you know, this is probably not going to derail their QE. Because remember, their QE is scheduled for the rest of this year. Their bond buying, they're doing every month. I don't think this is going to change that one iota, because it's working, and they're going to view it as working, and they're going to keep doing it. And just like our Fed, they're going to keep doing it until they think they can exit it without any pain. There is going to be pain someday, everybody. I hate to tell you this, but there will be pain someday. It's not going to be all roses. It just isn't. The process of investing is really a lot more than just picking stocks. After years of serving our clients, we know that there are many other money-related issues that need some attention. And that's why we tell our clients, if you need help making a decision about life insurance or trust, or you need an accountant or funding for college, you need something, anything financial, we can help you with. And that goes for our listeners, too. You know, you can ask any questions, any financial questions you want to ask. We want to hear it. We'll help you with it. Our lines are open for questions right now, 888-99-CHART.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Steve. This is Bill from Lakewood, New Jersey. I was calling on a stock, if you could give me a valuation. I'm a podcast listener. I listen daily, and I love the show. The stock symbol is GGN, as in Nicholas, Game Co., Golden Natural Resources. Could you tell me if that dividend you feel is safe, and the valuation of the stock, and if it's a buy at this point? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. I'll listen to your answer on the podcast. Have a great day.
GN, a closed-end fund investing in equity securities of companies engaged in gold and natural resource industries. Gold and natural resources, okay, GGN. What it does is it invests in them, and then it uses options to try to use options to gain premiums every month, and it pays those premiums out in the form of dividends. And their dividend yield looks very attractive, 11.8%. But I want you to be very careful of that. I kind of like the company, I do, but I want you to be very careful of that because it is not safe. It is not safe. And really, the question you really have to ask yourself is, do you think gold and natural resource industries have bottomed? If you do, then this company probably has bottomed. It was low as $6 and about 25 cents at the end of December. And then it popped up to about 775. Today it's at 713. So it's now, for months now, moving sideways. 775 was February, now March, April, May, sideways. It will probably continue to do that. You buy this because you like that dividend. And if you think gold is going up in price or and other natural resources, then you buy this. If you think they're going to go down, you kind of stay away from them, away from this. But that's not how it makes its dividend, really, just so you know. It makes it through options, selling options, doing options trading. We're going to talk to Virginia in San Jose. How are you doing, Virginia?
Yes.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
So you got to turn off your radio.
Information. I just want to know if you have any thoughts about GoPro.
GoPro manufactures mountable and wearable cameras and accessories for self-captured sharing and content. I think this industry is going to take off, and they are the leader in the industry right now. I think I can't see how it won't take off. And I think you're looking at a company that's growing very well. It's going to grow 18-20% in earnings this year, next. It's growing its sales about 50% the last four quarters, every quarter. It's an IPO stock that came out in, what, I think it was IPO June 26th. And it got as high as close to 100, fell, now it's at 58.40. So, yeah, I think it's got a pretty bright future. I really do, Virginia. Okay? Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by myself and Justin. Important topics, annuities, wills, trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, updated ETF lists, and more. As an insider, you get all that for free. To sign up, go to InvestTalk.com, available for all InvestTalk insiders. All you have to do is sign up at InvestTalk.com. It's no cost. Now it's time for your next question. What will that be? 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. There are plenty of solid benefits to investing in foreign and emerging markets, but if you're not sure whether this is the right opportunity for you, why not invest an hour with Steve and Justin at our next live webinar? It will help you identify and understand the opportunities out there. This is a one-hour session about global investing. Join them this Thursday, this June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, and you can sign up now on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Think you will work in retirement? Do you think you're going to be able to do that? There have been two new studies find it increasingly worrisome that that's not the case, not what's happening. Retirees have long depended on three sources of income to pay their bills in later life. Social Security, we all know that. Employment retirement plans, 401ks or pensions or whatever. And, of course, personal savings. And we know personal savings has been very, very low. And many individuals, as a result, are planning to continue working in some fashion in retirement. But the study published by the Bankers Life Center for Secure Retirement found that 72% of retired baby boomers, well, that's me, I'm not retired, but I'm a baby boomer, currently aren't working for pay in retirement, 72%. But almost half of those, 48%, said they would like to work but can't. 72% of retired baby boomers currently are not working. But 48% of those, or half of those people, said they would like to but can't. 35% said their health won't allow them to work. 8% said they were unable to find a job. 5% said they have to care for somebody else, a loved one. They can't. The study also found that many older workers, 70% of them, found themselves retiring earlier than they had expected. That's not good news. Of those, almost 80% of those 70%, okay, I know these numbers are getting confusing, they left work for reasons largely beyond their control, including poor health, 39%, being laid off, 19%, or to care for a loved one. So the upstart here is, even though you want to work, you may not be able to work. Even though you need to work, you may not be able to find a job. You may have to take care of somebody. Or your own health reasons, you can't work. Or you got laid off and you can't find a new job. This is why you need to take care of yourself sooner than before you're 50 years old. You need to start sooner. And if you have, and if you're late to the game and saving for your own retirement, save more. You need to be prepared. You know, if you're not self-employed and you can produce your own work and keep working as long as you want, then that means you're relying on somebody else to keep you on as an employee. Many older workers are very expensive workers because they got years of experience, been there for a long time, know what they're doing. And employers sometimes are very short-sighted. They want cheaper employees. Be very careful, people. You need to start saving. I really want you to protect yourself here. We have time for one more question. Let's go to our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. Pasa called from Napa.
I'm 28 years old. Last year, I filed a bankruptcy, and right now I have a very good income. So I'm going to start investing. I don't know where to start from.
Okay. If you don't have an IRA, start with that. If you don't have a 401k, at your employer, if he does have one, make sure you put in the 401k, especially if the employer matches just some free money. It's very common for employers to match up to 3 to 4%. If you put in 5%, it's very common for them to match 4. If you put in 1%, they match 1%. If you put in 2, they match 2. If you put in 3, they match 3. And then when you start getting above 3, they start getting nervous and they don't want to keep matching. But so if you have a 401k, start there. What to buy? If you're just starting out, buy index funds. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, buy the ETFs for those funds. Track an index. It's because you got to start learning and understand what you're doing. And you get instant diversification, easy to buy, simple to track, you know, and you get that instant diversification. And of course, it depends on your age and how much risk you want to take. And of course, everything depends on what are your risk. You like taking risk? Well, then you want to be in the stock market. If you don't like taking risk, then the stock market may not be for you. And if you don't know what you are, go to our website and take the risk questionnaire. It'll tell you how much risk. Stock market has a risk score of 80 for those people who take that questionnaire. And you can see how your personal risk score is related to the stock market. Before we close the hour, a reminder to sign up now for our June 4th webinar. That's coming up this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. We're looking for bargains in emerging and foreign markets, everybody. How do you find them? So we're going to help you with that. I hope you can join us. You can find out more and sign up at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we'll hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.